Guten Tag.
Welcome to the CGF podcast. Today we're talking about the greatest villain of all time. Today we're talking about killing Nazis. Specifically in video games, not killing real Nazis, because
we don't condone real murder.
Well, if it's Nazis, yeah, maybe not. maybe still shouldn't condone that. But and also, I was going to say, you know, I have no experience killing Nazis, but killing video game Nazis, I have quite a lot of experience with that.
Do you have any killing experience? Just to clarify,
no. So you got me there. But the number of Nazis I've killed in video games got probably millions. It's got to be an extraordinarily large number.
Yeah, they're pretty prominent in the video game universe.
Prominent? Yeah, that's like putting it lightly. They're like extremely common. Like, you have many opportunities to kill Nazis in video games. And today we will be highlighting some of the best ways that you can kill Nazis in video games. Top 10 list of top Nazi. that is part of the incentive to do this. But also, this is related to some recent events which have occurred recently. If you are living under a rock, or if you are Austin and you do not check news at all, you may have not heard about this event which happened last weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Well, I heard about it, but, you know, I am under a rock and Austin.
What did you hear about it? Tell me what you know.
I mean, there was like a protest, right, with neo-Nazis, and shit went down.
Yes, right.
In Charlottesville?
Charlottesville, exactly. Yeah. Nailed it, which is where University of Virginia is. It's in Central Virginia. It's actually a place that I know very well. My father lives there now and has lived there for like 8 years. And he had a house there when I was a teenager, and I lived with my father, and we would go down to Charlottesville a lot. So I've actually spent a lot of time there, and I know the city pretty well. And it is shocking to hear that this would happen there. But to provide some context for what happened, so there is a statue of Robert E. Lee, who is a Confederate Civil War general in the Civil War in the 19th century. And the statue of him was recently, it was recently determined that the statue would be removed because people find the statue offensive because it honors Confederate soldiers who wanted to secede from the United States and maintain the institution of slavery. So it's a contentious issue. There are people on both sides. There are a lot of people who are offended by the statues and want them to go. There are a lot of people who think that it's part of the South's heritage and they don't want to destroy them. So what happened was the city voted to remove the statue, which is legal and lawful, and no one can do anything about that. It was a, you know, open and shut case. So the white supremacist group, which is called Unite the Right, apparently.
Unite the Right.
Yeah. So they got a permit to protest. They're not going to change anything, right? The determination's already been made. So they're not going to stop the, you know, monument from being removed. They're just going to protest it. Well, you know, people protest things, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, isn't it usually to like make some sort of change or something? I mean, what is the, it's just, it seems like they're just whining.
That's what all protests are. All protests are whining. All protests are saying, I don't agree with this. So they got a permit, received a permit. Actually, the permit was originally denied. And then they appealed that, and the local ACLU approved the permit. So they got a permit anyway. And Antifa and violent protesters showed up. And the neo-Nazis are violent and crazy. And
Nothing like a violent protest.
Right. So the two sides clashed, and it resulted in this a death, which is tragic. And apparently some white supremacist guy from Ohio came there and ran over a group of people and killed one. So that's tragic and that's horrible. But the real big effect of this event is that kind of the media has clung on this and kind of pulled the fire alarm for like white supremacists. So everyone's afraid of Nazis and the resurgence of Nazis and how should they be handled. And there's a big free speech debate and what should we do about these monuments. And so there's Nazis are in the news right now, like in a big way. And this is all kind of like, you know, surprising and shocking and unusual to everybody. But to me as well, because I've spent so much time in Charlottesville and I've never encountered anybody who was racist at all. Not a single person, not a single experience encountering anything like this.
You are a tall white guy. It's not like that's going to be directly in your face.
You're right. That's a good point. That's a good point. I don't expect that I would be the target of racism in the South, but I'm saying I've never observed any comment from anyone who was racist or anything like that. So for this to happen is surprising because it just never entered my head that would happen. But obviously in the South, there a lot of people are proud of the Confederacy history. You know, there was a big controversy over the Confederate flag not too long ago. So anyway, to bring this back around, I just thought that this would be an interesting podcast topic since some of my favorite games of all time
involve killing Nazis.
Yes, yes. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk about some of these games, especially since two of them I finished very recently.
Yeah.
And also, one of my favorite games of all time is about killing Nazis as well, which is not the game that I played recently. And it's kind of tied into the news. And I, you know,
it's
there's
relevant
something,
right now.
It's relevant. And there's something
and
really
it's fun.
It's fun. It's fun. because fuck Nazis, right? I mean, like a lot of people, you know, and I'm kind of one of them who think like the freedom of speech is very important.
Totally important.
Yeah. And we shouldn't take it away from people whose ideas that we disagree with, because that's what free speech is all about. People who are presenting non-controversial ideas don't need freedom of speech.
Yeah, but I mean, I kind of think it comes down to a point of like, you do your thing and I do my thing. And I don't think that like people should just impose all of their views on other people. Mind your own fucking business.
Right. You know, and like part of me feels that everyone has a moral responsibility to oppose Nazis. That is just a fact. Right? Yeah. I mean, Americans, right? But also another part feels, I kind of wish that these anti-Nazi protesters hadn't gone there and created such a violent situation, because then this protest would have come and gone. No one would have cared. It's a small number of crazy people with backwards mindsets.
Yeah.
And now it's resulted in this massive witch hunt.
Yeah.
So in any case, let's look at the joy of this situation. And that is killing Nazis in video games. And I thought it's pretty interesting how Nazis are so special. You know? And like what makes them so special is that it's remorseless killing.
Yeah.
It's in video games, at least, like for generations, for like my entire lifetime, there have been games that have used Nazis as villains. And
me too.
You know,
I'm younger than you, so.
Well, it just feels wrong to kill people in general. You know, I mean, murder is just like a horrible thing, and shooting people is not good. You know, it's like murder is bad. But if it's murder of all the people that you could kill, it feels like Nazis are at the top of the list of like people that it's justified. you're justified in killing, because they are just like evil incarnate. I mean, of all the people in history, they're probably worse somewhere, but there are probably not any that are as scary as Nazis are.
I mean, I don't know. It's just with Nazis, they're universally kind of known and accepted as a like something that's bad, whereas like there may be like worse things going on, but it's not as well known. I mean, Nazis are just like a well-known evil in the world.
Yeah, it's really like evil incarnate. It's like it's like the most extreme concentrated form of highly organized evil.
That's a good way to put it, highly organized.
It's like a very systematic concerted effort to be super evil, rather than just like chaotic evil, you know, like violent protesters, for example. It's like they're not organized in the same way that Nazis are. And that makes the threat a lot more scary.
Yeah.
You know, looking at World War II, really terrifying the odds that the Allies had to win that war. I mean, it could have very likely gone the other way, which is scary to think about. And that is actually an alternate universe, which some of the games which we'll talk about have explored.
Yeah.
So also, I recently learned that the alt-right, which is this kind of white nationalist political movement, which has you know, been involved in this Charlottesville event, they are recently complaining about Nazis being killed in video games.
What the fuck?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I mean, it does kind of make a little bit of sense. I've seen some interesting commentary on both sides, but the basic idea is that Nazis have...
We're not being portrayed in a... You know, where are the games where we get to be the hero?
Oh, yeah. No, those certainly don't exist. Yeah, that'll be the next argument after they win this territory.
Yeah.
But the basic argument is that they've been dehumanized so that Nazis are not like human. They're like some otherworldly evil, which is kind of true. You know, I mean,
well,
this is
kind of some of the games we're going to bring up, they literally are human.
Yeah, that's totally true. I thought it was kind of shocking and surprising that someone would make this argument that people who express Nazi point of views are offended by what happens in a video game. But anyway, I found a couple articles on both sides of this, and one I thought was really interesting, and I have a little passage from it here, and it was about how, you know, maybe it's gone too far to, you know, make human people into like cartoon targets. The article says, this article isn't a call to show the sensitive side of Nazism, but merely to explore it in more depth. By all means, keep all the exciting high-octane violence. New Order is just that kind of game. That's a recent Wolfenstein game, which is fantastic. Yeah. I love it. But wouldn't a single sequence where Blazkowicz crashed through family homes in an apartment block while escaping the Nazis have given an interesting insight into what this oppressive regime meant for the people living in it? Slaughtering Nazis is like slaughtering aliens or zombies, only more enjoyable because on the inside, Nazis aren't made of ectoplasm or black moldy guts, but wonderful red blood and viscera, just like real people. We justify killing them because even though they look human, they're unworthy of a place on the morality scale. I think that's a good way to put it. You know, when you're mowing down groups of Nazis, it's like deeply satisfying because you're like morally doing the right thing. That's very interesting and very unique in history. And I feel that that's, you know, Americans and Europeans in particular share that. And one interesting thing, you know, you don't see the same thing with communists. You know, there are not games where you're like mowing down, you know, tons of communists and feeling like, yeah.
Not in the way that there are zombies. There are games where communists get killed and stuff, but not, I mean, they're not portrayed in the way that Nazis are.
Right. This, I think, is an interesting kind of facet of perspective. You know, first of all, the United States never fought a war with communists. We're allied with communist Soviet Union in the Second World War, but communists killed many more people. Anyway, it's interesting how Nazis occupy this like very unique position, which is not on the morality scale, as was just mentioned. So I guess this conversation as far as games should start with the very first one, which is a game which I never played, which is the 1981 2D Wolfenstein.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Have you ever played that? Have you seen it?
I've seen it, but I've not played it. I mean, I played Wolfenstein 3D. And I've seen pictures of the old Wolfenstein. Damn.
Right. So 1981. That was the year I was born. That is so damn old. So starting in 1981 with the 2D Castle Wolfenstein puts you in the shoes of all-American bruiser BJ Blazkowicz, deep behind enemy lines and on a largely stealth-based mission to infiltrate the titular Nazi-occupied castle, which is called Wolfenstein. In 1992, the series found its groove with Wolfenstein 3D, which was one of the earliest first-person shooters and the template for pretty much every game in that genre to this day.
Yeah, I played that on, I think, the first computer my family got, and then my parents decided that it was too violent and took it off the computer.
Hard to disagree with them. It's pretty violent.
I was super young, too. So,
did you ever see the end of that game?
No.
So at the end of Wolfenstein 3D, you fight like a mechanized Hitler. It's like half mech, half human. That
sounds cartoonish.
Yeah, no, then that's like kind of how this stuff works. A lot of these, it's called Mecha Hitler.
Mecha.
Yeah, after shooting your way through the primitively rendered 3D castle, you would finally do battle with a cybernetically enhanced Mecha Hitler, thus cementing the franchise's reputation for cold edge realism.
That makes me think of, oh, was it last week's episode of Rick and Morty? Did you see that? Oh, you haven't been watching it, right? There's this Crocubot, part crocodile, part robot. Which one came first? I don't know.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cartoonish imagery, you know, when we're dealing with the subject of Nazis in video games, whether we're talking Mecha Hitler or the other one, which is Nazi zombies.
Yeah.
Which has become a really common thing, not just in games.
There are movies as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a big popular culture thing. It's like the meeting point of kind of the two perfect villains. You know, I mean, zombies are not really alive. So, you know, feel free to kill as many as you like. And it's like Nazis all want the destruction of people who are not like them. So kill as many as you like. Like both of these are just like zero regret, you know, like fat-free, wholesome murder.
I feel like with the whole Nazis, zombies aspect, it just like not making them human makes it easier to mow them down. You don't connect with them on an emotional level or like, and it's like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So it started with the 1981 Wolfenstein 2D. We should look into that, actually. I've seen some screenshots of it. I haven't played it. But the 1992 Wolfenstein 3D, that's definitely a game I played. That's probably a game that everybody who's listened to this played.
Yeah.
And actually, they inserted that into the new Wolfenstein games.
Yeah, there was like levels you would like go into or whatever and play like the old one or what. They would be like a dream sequence.
Exactly.
Or whatever,
right? It's a bed. It's always a bed. Yeah. So you find a bed and then you lie in the bed and take a nap and then you dream and then you in the dream you're playing the 2D Castle Wolfenstein. And it's amazing. It's so much fun because it's using
the 3D one, right?
Yeah, the 3D one, yes. And it's using the same guns as in the modern one.
So
right? You've got the modern gun and the old enemies and old stages and like, man, it's just this like really
cool.
Yeah, it just really works. Like it's really fun. Like for brief periods. Basically the way it works is in each of these beds, which you find, I think there's one in every level, you go to a different stage in Wolfenstein 3D, and then you play through that stage. And when you complete it, then you wake up from the dream and you get a special achievement for that. And the beds are kind of hidden. It's not something you have to do. It's like a kind of Easter egg sort of thing. Hmm. And just really cool. A lot of fun. Definitely the popularity of Nazis as a villain may have been tied to the popularity of 1992's Castle Wolfenstein 3D, which was such a great game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, mechanically, it's just a really solid game, which holds up really well.
I think around that same time, there was might have been a little bit later. Well, actually, before that, there was Bionic Commando, right?
Yeah,
and that was like, that was NES or something, right?
Yeah, do you play the remastered one?
Yeah, I played the remastered one. That was you mean the 2D, like, remastered one, not the terrible 3D one.
The 2D one. Which was like Xbox Live Arcade, I think.
Bionic Commando Rearmed or
something? That's it, Rearmed.
Yeah, that game was really cool.
Really cool. Bionic Commando Rearmed is really good. Yeah. Is that on Steam? Is that available now?
I don't think so. I think it was like an Xbox Live Arcade game or something.
It was. It was definitely an Xbox Live Arcade game. Anyway, that's Bionic Commando. Even the original one's good, though, on NES.
Yeah.
And Rearmed, really good as well. And you are fighting Nazis in that, too, with a bionic arm.
Which is dope.
Yeah,
like,
so that's...
grappling around levels and like... just punching him in the face and stuff with a super-powered arm.
Good remaster. Yeah. Other games kind of in this category, aside from Bionic Commando and Wolfenstein, are Medal of Honor. That used to be a really good
series. Medal of Honor Airborne is like probably the best in the series. And that's like a fantastic game where you like airdrop into the level. So it's kind of like you can play differently every time, you know, and go about it in your own way, like a little bit open world type thing.
You know, it's really too bad that that series just died off. You know, because I remember Medal of Honor used to be
on the PS1.
Yeah,
was like amazing. Like
it was like the Call of Duty of the era.
Yeah,
you know, it was like the Call of Duty of that time. It was like the best World War II first person shooter game, and it held on to that title for a long time.
Yeah.
And then Call of Duty 4 came out, and that was like when they were kind of like in head to head competition.
And
then Call of Duty just like buried
it.
Yeah, just like totally killed it. And Medal of Honor tried to reboot.
Yeah,
maybe 4 years ago.
Yeah, and you know it was being rebooted by DICE though, which is crazy.
Doesn't make much sense.
Yeah,
and it didn't was not effective in reinvigorating that series. So Medal of Honor, it looks like, is in a graveyard for now.
Battlefield stayed strong though.
Yeah,
Battlefield stays Call of Duty's built up. Call of Duty's kind of stayed stagnant.
Do you fight Nazis in Battlefield?
Technically, in 1942, the original year, you know, World War II, fighting Nazis. So that counts, right?
I guess that counts. Yeah. Call of Duty. I think Call of Duty 2 is the only one where you're like World War II, although they...
Call of Duty 2
there's
is
a new
like...
one. There's a new one which is coming out. Obviously, they're returning to World War II.
Yeah.
The most... The new upcoming Call of Duty is a return to the original format of the game. So we'll see how that works out.
And there's World at War, which introduces the Nazi zombies.
Yes, Nazi zombies. So this is kind of like the big thing, which I really want to talk about.
Okay, before we get into that, because that's a little bit later in like the timeline of games, I just wanted to mention like a couple other games.
Yeah, I got one too.
There's Freedom Force versus the Third Reich. Have you played that?
No, but I've heard about it.
That is a fantastic game. There's like time travel. You can like create your own superhero, be a Minuteman, and like go back in time and like fight zombies and robots and shit. It's really crazy. Really, really super.
What kind of game is it?
So it's kind of like a strategy game, I would say.
Okay.
Like a real-time strategy game where you like create different superheroes. You can create any kind of hero you want. And I think it was developed by Irrational Games shortly before BioShock.
Okay.
Before Irrational like disbanded and they went over to, what, 2K or something? Whatever, you know, but yeah.
One of the most curious games which I saw classified as a game which has a Nazi villain is Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Von Kaiser is a Nazi. His ring entrance music is Ride of the Valkyries, a grand, imposing Nazi-esque tune that was actually written by Richard Wagner, a German composer who harbored anti-Semite tendencies. And Von Wagner also wears military-style clothing. He has a suspicious-looking mustache. And he's a Nazi villain who you beat up like relatively early in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, pretty funny, right?
I put that on the Raspberry Pi.
It's a classic. Out. Nazis yeah. or not. I had never like thought about that. I just thought like he was just like, you know, schnitzel German generization. You know what I mean? It's just like cliche German guy. But like, yeah, as you look at all the details, it does have a foreboding presence.
Yeah. And one other is Blood Rain. I mean, vampire hunting down Nazis.
Okay, I've heard of that. I haven't played it.
Terrible movies. Okay, like game from what I've heard. I didn't play it, but it like had two games made, I think. Anyway, cool concept. Vampire hunting down Nazis.
Did you play the original Wolfenstein on Xbox?
Huh?
Wolfenstein on Xbox. Castle Wolfenstein, I think it was. It was one of the first Xbox Live games where you use like a headset, you play online.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I don't think I even heard of that.
It was like the most popular Xbox
on a regional Live game. Xbox.
Yeah. That game was fantastic. Really good online gameplay. Tons of fun. I played that a lot. That was one of the first big Xbox Live games.
I think I spent a lot of time with Xbox Live in Crimson Skies.
Okay, that's a World War One game, right?
You're like the air combat
like
game.
Like prop.
Yeah, and then whatever the heck that mech combat game was. I don't know, not important. But
yeah. So anyway, let's get to the real deal, Nazi zombies.
Nazi zombies.
Yeah, so Call of Duty World at War comes out, and it's developed by Treyarch. I think they started it, right?
I think.
And then they included a special mode. So the way it worked originally was, I think you finished the game and then you dropped straight into...
After the credits or whatever, you drop
straight into a Nazi zombie scenario.
And it's so good. Four-player co-op. Like, the whole campaign's four-player co-op. And then you drop in together into Nazi zombies.
Yeah, that's probably, like, maybe in my top 10, like, gaming experiences of all time. Like,
fucking
Nazi
amazing,
zombies in general.
Yeah.
Just so much
fun. What a
so
great co-op experience.
Right. So, essentially, I mean, that game really kind of, like, popularized what is called Horde mode.
Yeah.
And so now, like, every first-person shooter game
has some sort of horde mode,
exactly. And the general premise is that you are restricted inside a physical space, and you're trying to keep invaders out. So you have, in this case, you have Nazi zombies who are kind of trudging towards, you know, the room or the building or, you know, whatever enclosure you're inside. And as they get to the doors and windows, they start to break them down, and you have to shoot them and repel them and repair the doors and windows.
It's all about developing like a strategy together, you know, like what time do you like open this door, or like how long are we going to hole up in this area before we move on to the next area?
Yeah. Just
what weapon do you upgrade? Stuff like
that.
For
me, it was like the modern era GoldenEye. You know, as far as like playing it split screen with friends locally was so much fun.
Super fun.
It's a cooperative game, so it's not competitive. You're all like trying to work together. You know, it'd commonly be like, you cover this window, I'll cover that way.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things.
I'm down. Give me a
right. When someone falls down, you got to help them back up. Really fun. So World of War started that, and that begun like really what I think is one of the biggest parts of the popularity of Call of Duty. I think like a major component of Call of Duty's enduring popularity
is due to Nazi zombies.
Yeah,
yeah. I agree with that 100%. Like,
but actually, it's
Black Ops 2, I think, if you pre-ordered it, you got like a bonus disc with a DLC that included all the, original World at War maps on
it? You know, they have a special like release, which is coming out. I think maybe it's out now or coming out soon. And it's like a Nazi Zombies like best of, you know, or like it's a standalone game.
Oh, man, that's like, great. That's all so we great. Need. That's all we need.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't care about Call of Duty like
not
at all,
anymore.
Man.
I mean,
not
I anymore. Used to.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I will still play Nazi Zombies.
Right. So here's all what I'm day. Thinking. Here's what I'm thinking. You and I are flying to America in just a few hours.
Yeah.
When we're there, I'm thinking of changing my Steam account region to the States. And I would like and to buy that game. Yeah, because the game's not available in China.
I think I have my 360 at my parents' house with World at War as well. So we can just immediately do that.
Right on. So, yeah, Call of Duty Nazi Zombies, super good. And an interesting quirk about this is that it's only Treyarch who makes the Nazi zombie mode. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, and they have like a TikTok cycle with Call of Duty. So
back and forth.
Exactly.
Right?
So
development cycles flip flop between who's
right.
Doing
so Treyarch
it
develops a game, and then the next year Infinity Ward develops a game. They make Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which is Call of Duty 4. And then Treyarch makes one, Infinity Ward, and so on. And so all of the Treyarch games are Nazi zombies, and all the Infinity Ward games are just
shit.
It's like a squad. It's like a squad mode where you're. It's the same thing.
It's actually really fun. I think the Horde mode in the other one is fun.
It's the same principle, but just less cool. It's like a diluted version, basically. I mean,
because I think it's just different because you're going up against people with guns and stuff, and you can get like the like power ups and stuff that you get in like the normal multiplayer mode with like the helicopters and shit. But like, it's fun, but it doesn't have the same charm that like Nazi Zombies has.
Right, and also Nazi Zombies has some really unique gameplay elements. So
The zombies aren't.
So the colas, all the perks, the mystery box.
I love the mystery box.
But, and also, you know, the strategy in Nazi Zombies is a little bit different because, you know, they're dumb. They don't really run at you until later stages and they don't shoot back.
Dogs, dude.
So you want to funnel them all into one place. And so you kind of get into situations. Yeah. Where you're like mowing down like enormous crowds of Nazi zombies. And that is like really satisfying.
Satisfying, dude.
Yeah. And something you don't encounter that in like squad mode in the other Call of Duty games.
It just feels like a generic Horde mode.
Right.
Which, I mean, and I think that every game's got something like that. I mean, there's also Sniper Elite, which is, you know, also killing zombies. Great game. I believe you can kill Hitler in that one. Get a fucking ball shot on him. But that game's got, like, unique things about it. Call of Duty, like, doesn't really have anything. Like, Nazi Zombies is unique, but the Horde mode has nothing to, like, separate it from anything
else. I think the mystery box and the cola system, like that's what really sets it apart.
But that's in Nazi Zombies, not in the like other modern.
Oh, the squad mode, I think, or whatever it is. Yeah, that doesn't have any of that stuff. That's just like standard.
Just generic shooter.
Right.
Yeah.
So moving on from Call of Duty, Nazi Zombies, we should move into the new Wolfenstein games. So Wolfenstein, it's amazing.
Would you just beat both New Order and Old Blood?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So it's amazing the longevity of Wolfenstein. It's like one of the oldest first-person shooter games of all time.
And these have a really good narrative, right? From
it's
what I've
fantastic. Yeah. It's a really good story.
Would you describe it as like cinematic then?
100% cinematic.
It's a little bit linear then too, right?
Sure. Yeah, it's linear. Yeah. It's a linear shooter game.
That's okay. How
it's
long
got a
is
great
it?
Story. So the New Blood is about 12 hours.
And, it's a good link.
Sorry, the New Order is about 12 hours.
The New Blood and the Old...
the Old Order. So the New Order is about 12 hours and the Old Blood's about half that. They were both really enjoyable, but for someone who's listening to this, if you haven't played either, I might start with Old Blood just because...
Old Blood's the newer one?
Yeah.
Why would they do that? Why would they make, you know, a game called the New Order and then make a new game with the word old in it? It's just confusing.
Yeah, so I'll explain. Well, so basically we should kind of get into what the game's about. So it's first of all, I just kind of want to say like it's amazing that the series starts in 1981 and then it innovates 3D first person shooters in 1992. And now it's like one of the best first person shooter games like you can possibly play. The game is so damn good. I really rate Doom very high,
But Doom doesn't have the narrative that this has.
It has a narrative, but it's
not
as good.
The same.
It's not as good, you know. But in any case, I mean, the point I'm trying to make is like the new Wolfenstein games are fantastic. Like they're really, really good. You should definitely play them. I highly recommend.
When I get my new computer,
you play them.
I got to be patient. Yeah.
So in any case, in 2014, they released The New Order, which is this new, it's kind of a reboot of the series. And it's a super good game. And it takes place in an alternate reality 1960. And in this timeline, the Nazis defeated the Allies and took over the world. And you, the
character... And then they became hippies?
No.
Do you know, do the whole 60s thing, right? Nazi
no.
hippies? Damn it.
Nazi zombie.
The character, Nazi zombie hippies?
The character you play, BJ Blazkowicz, is a U.S. soldier who...
Are you always Blazkowicz in every
yes,
game?
Yes. All right. He was in a coma. And so he wakes up in a coma.
He wakes up in a coma?
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what's going on. And then it's explained to him that Nazis won the war and the war is over. In his mind, he's still fighting the war and yeah. he's still a soldier in the war. And so he refuses to accept this reality. And so he
goes to
dedicates himself to kill them all. Yeah, exactly. And so you play Blazkowicz and that's what it's about. So you
Wait,
are.
Where does he wake up? I mean, if he was like, why did they not kill him?
It's I can't remember the detail of that. It's somehow like
they were hippies.
A group of people friendly to him, you know, have him.
Okay.
And so he's in their purvey or whatever. So anyway, he wakes up and basically you are staging a revolution against the Nazis who control the world. And so the game takes place in this alternate reality, which is really cool. It's a really fascinating alternate reality. And actually they made a lot of cool stuff just to make the world seem
believable.
Real. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they take like popular music from the 1960s and then make like German versions of it.
That's
and so,
cool.
Yeah, there's like 1960s like folk music and rock music, like German versions of that.
Wow.
And like you hear that stuff like in the game.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It like really, makes it more like a tangible world.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So there are a lot of really great details like that. So that's New Order. And that was 2014. A year after that, Old Blood came out, and Old Blood is a standalone DLC. So it's its own story. And
shorter than, right?
Yeah, it's shorter. It's about like half the length. But the story of Old Blood, the reason, you know, why it's called Old Blood and what that is a reference to is that you're going back to Castle Wolfenstein in that one.
Oh.
So in New Order, you're kind of traveling all across Germany. And in Old Blood, you're in the castle, like the castle where it all started, right?
Wow.
So,
and Old Blood's the one where you like go to like have the dream sequences, right?
Yes.
Those don't happen in the New Order.
I think that's right. I don't think those happen in New Order.
Cool.
So yeah, in both of those games, they're incredibly violent.
Yeah.
Cinematic
I mean,
games.
I've seen a little bit. I remember I think you started out New Order one time when I was hanging out here and I saw the beginning of that game. Super violent.
Yeah.
Very cool. It's very good looking game too.
It is. It's a great looking game. It's a lot of fun. Really violent. You use a lot of different vehicles. You know, it's a very dynamic game. It's not, you know, Doom is a lot less dynamic. Like you're
Doom's just run and gun.
Doom is just run and gun.
Old school shooter.
Yeah, I mean you fight some really big bosses.
I mean
which
old
are cool.
school shooter with, you know, great graphics and everything, but still at its heart, old school shooter.
Right. Demons, another remorseless target of murder.
Demon Nazi zombies.
they're a little bit demonic already to begin with, but
yeah, I mean those eyes.
Right. So, and actually, the reason why I played the most recent Old Blood game was because there's a new Wolfenstein which is coming out this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So at E3, they promoted this new Wolfenstein game. That's coming out, I think, in the fall, and it's a highly anticipated game. The trailer looks amazing.
Pretty much everything it does is highly anticipated, right?
I think they're all like on an upward swing now, you know? Now
yeah.
with just Doom and this.
Doom 3 and Quake 4 were...
Those were not good.
They were not.
Those were not good, yeah.
But other than that, they've been, you know... I mean, they haven't had like a huge down period or anything in comparison to
some You have to go back decades to find good stuff amid. So this new Wolfenstein game, highly anticipated, looks really good. This is probably one of my most anticipated games of the year, along with Shadow of War. And so like a lot of other people, I thought it would be cool to just go back and play this Old Blood game, which I had never played before. And I really deeply enjoyed it.
How old is it?
It's 2 years old.
So the other one's 3?
Right.
Yeah.
a lot of people right now are going back and playing these games just because the new Wolfenstein's coming out.
The new one looks so good.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype around the new one. And a lot of people are just discovering, like, damn, this game's really good. Like, it's really, it's a couple years old.
But it's good. It holds up.
Yeah, and a lot of people had kind of overlooked it, you know? And now it's like...
I mean, I heard it was great when it was released. A lot of, like, reviewers said, like, don't pass this game up.
Yeah, now it's getting a lot of attention again.
That's good.
Though, just
that's
because
good.
Of this trailer. Yeah, it is
Kill good. Them zombies. Or no, kill them Nazis. And they got, like, all kinds of, like, crazy fucking, like, mech shit and stuff, right?
Yeah, they got some of that. They got some of that. They got some, like, cartoonish stuff in the game, too. Which is enjoyable and satisfying.
Mecha Hitler, right?
No Mecha Hitler. I mean, it's kind of surprising, right? If that's like a villain in the original one, why would they not have Mecha Hitler? I guess
it's too much.
If you're repeatedly if you're repeatedly killing Mecha Hitler, then maybe that's a little bit much. You know, I kind of always thought, you know, in this is not related to Wolfenstein at all, but it is related to Nazis. How come there's not like Hitler in Civilization? Is that like too far over the line? You got Mao Zedong.
Wow, that is a good.
Maybe it'd be messed up to like be Hitler and to do that.
Be like,
maybe
I'm
that's like
take
too far.
Over. I'm gonna win. It's Hitler.
Yeah. Is that really like over the line? I'm kind of like I wonder if Firaxis like had
got,
this debate.
Like, yeah,
I mean they've got like Mao Zedong killed like 10 times more people. I mean they weren't like killed under the same circumstances. They were Chinese people, you know, and so on. There are some differences, but. You know, I have had that thought before. Like,
if you can workshop support, I wonder if somebody's added Hitler to the game.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be a little weird. That might be
that
a little
would
bit
be
weirder.
Really weird, right? They're like, weird. Like if you're the person that does that, like, what are people gonna say to you? Be like, why did you put this on here?
Yeah,
and then other people are gonna be like, yeah, finally, I can be Hitler. I would
maybe
think it's funny.
Him.
It's ironic.
Maybe
like
just
in a funny way. It's ironically funny.
It's
but
like
it's
like,
not.
Maybe you just want to kill Hitler. Maybe you just want to kill the Nazis, right?
Yeah.
They're like an important part of history. I mean, when you're talking about like history of warfare.
It's true.
I mean, a lot of the civs are guilty of like horrible, unimaginable things. But I guess that none occupy that space like
Gandhi
Hitler
and
does
nukes.
Quite. Yeah. Gandhi will nuke you without a second thought, man. He's cold-blooded.
Ruthless.
Cold-blooded.
A ruthless, peace-loving killer.
Right. So, before we wrap this up, what you been playing?
Fucking just a bunch of retro stuff. Setting up the Raspberry Pi for the burn. I've been playing the shit out of Morph Blade. Oh, and I beat Pony Island. I beat it.
Yeah, tell me about Pony Island. Just quick
fucking
review.
Fucking amazing, dude. Like, it just is like an interesting kind of, it breaks the mold of what a game can be and has like a interesting narrative.
How do you compare it to Stanley Parable? How do those two rank?
It's up there. But I think Stanley Parable will always hold a special place in my, I don't know, dude. I mean, it's a little different. I think they're both very charming games in a sometimes kind of dark and like very thought-provoking way.
Yeah.
And Morph Blade is kind of like a roguelike puzzle game, I guess. And that has been really fun. I kind of wish I had it on my phone or something just because it's like good for like quick play sessions or whatever. I've not been able to get past like round 24 or something in it. And then all these like retro games, Radmobile.
Radmobile sounds like a smartphone game.
It is now.
Yeah, you got to see Encino Man. That's
that looks right up my alley.
With Pauly Shore, it's got Radmobile. So you're setting up the Raspberry Pi for a trip to Burning Man, and you were looking at an arcade games and found Radmobile, which is a Sega game.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I recently played and finished Rez.
Oh, yeah. That's
and enjoyed
great.
It so much. Damn, that game
now
is so
I've
good.
Now I've got to buy it again because they keep re-releasing it and I keep having to buy it because it's so good.
When did you buy it? I mean, what for what? Obviously,
PS2.
PlayStation 2 and then what else?
Xbox.
It was on Xbox 360?
360 arcade release.
Interesting.
Yeah. And now we've got Steam and...
Well, this will probably be the last time you buy it.
Yeah, kind of... I kind of want to play it in VR.
Yeah,
that
you know,
makes me want to buy like the Pimax or whatever.
The game is so worth it.
Yeah.
It's an inexpensive game. It's a fantastic game.
But I want to play aside in VR, which is going to cost like 2,000 RMB.
It's going to cost a lot more than that. You need a computer to run it.
Oh, but I'm building a new computer in October.
The Pimax is like 4K. That requires like Lee's computer can't even run that.
No, he has the Pimax. I just played with it.
He doesn't run it full resolution.
Oh.
Did I think about these things, Austin?
Whatever. I don't need full resolution.
Anyway, Res is really great. They added a new mode into this version, which is called Res Infinite, which is really cool. I think this new mode actually would work even better in VR. It has a little bit more atmospheric effects than the original does. And just a super, super fun game.
I enjoy it. Like, what sort of things does it add?
So basically, the normal version of Res is an on-rails shooter.
Yeah.
So you're going, it's a linear path from like A to B. So you're going from the beginning of the stage to the end of the stage, and you're shooting things mostly in front of you.
Different stages with a boss battle at the end.
Yes. So at certain points in the level, you'll look to your left and it'll automatically turn you, or to your right, or it'll turn you around completely and you'll shoot things there, and then it'll turn back around. The way that the added-on mode works is that it's a total 360-degree movement. Oh. So enemies come from all sides and you control where you're looking.
Interesting.
So that is like the perfect
mode. Is that more challenging then?
I think it's not as
similar.
I think
you just have to pay attention.
I think it's not as good in 2D maybe. But I think it'll be a lot better in VR. Yeah, because if you're in VR, like, you kind of don't want to be on rails.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of want to have like freedom
of
movement.
That seems like the kind of one where you would need to have like a wireless setup. I mean, you're going to have to be looking like all around you. And I, you know, that time we went together to play, I like almost strangled myself in the wires. I know that's an Austin problem, probably.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's sad that VR place is closed.
Yeah, there's a place in Taikoo Li though.
Nice.
But that's much further away.
Anyway, thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you enjoy killing Nazis in video games because
and zombies.
It's a pastime we enjoy. How dare you talk about Nazis? I was about to be.
Zombies are people too.
Yeah, exactly. You think the undead aren't people?
Check out our website at chungtugaming.com, and until next time, later.
See ya.